amazing service today. We wish you could have been a part of.
Yes, we do.
And so much to be thankful for. You know, God is really blessing the ministry and blessing our individual lives so much.
We didn't just have a great service. What else do we have, Angel?
We had a great Thanksgiving meal.
Wow. I mean, it was huge, Betty, with all the fixings and trimming and just everything. We went through a lot of food.
We sure did. Well, first of all three of my children came.
Oh, that's why it was right there, Betty. Her three hossy young men. That's who it was.
And I got to meet the new girlfriend for the first time of Joseph, so it was great.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, that was all good.
Oh, awesome.
And Spencer was even
there. Did you get
there.
The Christmas tree up?
We got it up.
Yes.
Yeah. There was one problem, though, with putting ornaments on. And, Angel, you can describe that.
Yeah, we were missing the hooks.
All the hooks.
Oh, gee.
Never occurred to me to buy hooks. Well, anyway, evidently ornaments That's don't okay. come with hooks anymore. Did you know that? Now you know. Now you know.
Now you know the rest of the story.
That's right. So, anyway, we had a great time. It was a lot of fun, and we had new people, and that's always a joy to have new people come and be a part of the ministry.
Yes.
We welcome our listeners. If you are in the Tampa Bay area and do not have a home church, we welcome you to check us out at 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater, and that's right off of Hercules between Drew and Sunset Point. Very easy to find. And we've got a new facility we moved into in May. And Betty, you've been there a few times already this year from snowy Michigan, have you not?
Yes, and you know what? It has really been a blessing. I've been in several of the locations of Beacon over the years.
Right.
And this is, you know, the Lord has really supplied the need. And, you know, it will continue to grow. And I'm sure that there will be walls coming down, you know, very shortly, you know, for expansion, because, you know, the kingdom of God is expanding.
Amen.
Beacon of Hope.
Yes, I hope so. And we are really going to be looking at new avenues of outreach this new year. We're excited about what God is doing. And I'll tell you what, if it gets any better, I don't know, Angel, today was just like one of those wow days, and a lot of ministry to people, praying over them for their needs. And I always love that. Always love that. And that was ample today. I every time I turned around, thought we were done, Angel, somebody else was standing there. Did you notice that?
Yes, it was such a blessing. And it was beautiful. You know, and a lot of the people were guests. And I mean, there were so many guests today, which is always awesome to watch people coming in. But then, you know, coming up to be ministered to and getting to be a part of that ministry team is always a blessing.
Oh, absolutely. I just looked around and realized I had not hit go live on the YouTube after I set it up. So YouTube is now live. YouTube.com/TanTalkRadio/live, and you can see Angel in the studio by herself. Yes, I'm here, but I am through the glass in the control room trying to control Betty and Angel, and that's very hard, right?
While you're behind glass.
Yeah, it's good. I'm behind bulletproof glass, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So, because you just never know. Anyway, no, we had a great day, and so, I mean, I turned around, Angel, and two people that have never been to church there before, friends of Becky Morrison, were in there in the kitchen doing all the dishes.
I know.
And cleaning up all the pans. Betty, I looked around and I thought, you got to be kidding me. First time they've ever been at Beacon and they're in there doing all that.
You know, that's the natural born servanthood.
It is, yes.
To be able to pitch in without even being asked to do it.
Right.
You know, that is amazing, and I'm glad that all of you were all blessed.
Well, there were others that were pretty new that were decorating the tree. I mean, it was like, it was very interesting. In fact, the guy that put up the tree has never been there before, and he's deaf and dumb.
Yes.
And that was really cool, wasn't it?
That was really cool, but you know, I think one of the things that makes it so awesome is that people just felt at home, like it was their home, and I think they really just felt
family.
Comfortable. Yeah, like family.
And that is true. And I wasn't the only one that was barefoot. So
no, I was too.
But Betty, we wish you could have been there. We love these special events at Beacon of Hope. We got several coming up. December 22nd is going to be a big day. It's our Christmas White Elephant Exchange and dinner right after church on December 22nd. And then on December 29th, the next week, what are we doing, Angel? What are we doing?
I missed that. What are we doing when?
What December are we doing 22nd? December 29th.
Oh, that is our 29th is when we are sharing the congregation with the McKays, and
yes,
we're going to put the congregations together.
Amen. They were just on the show right before us. Dr. Rebecca, Apostle Rebecca, also Apostle George. We are so glad they're coming back, bringing their people. We had such a good time
in
September 29th when they were there. Just so happened both times have been the 29th. So we got that coming up, December 29th. That would be really fun if Betty were here, don't you think?
That would be awesome, Miss Betty.
Did you hear that, Miss Betty?
I hear you. Would love to. Thinking about it.
Okay.
Thinking about it.
All right.
I'm still praying about it.
All right. That's fine. But you know what? To all of you out there in Radio Land, if we seem happy and excited, we are. Because last year, at this time, we were still meeting in my house.
Yes, we were.
And it was so small for all the people that were coming in. I remember the Christmas Day dinner and white elephant thing at my house last year. And I bet you do too, Angel. We had people sitting on the floor.
We did.
So that is pretty bad. And so now to have this huge, big, beautiful space, it is so fun. I mean, today was so fun because we have a designated kitchen and a fellowship hall and a sanctuary and an office and your office in the front and two bathrooms and all the good stuff. I mean, it's beautiful.
It really is. You know, it's funny because I was thinking about to our Thanksgiving last year when I think two of my boys were there and they were both sitting in the kitchen. And like,
right. You
know, I got to sit on the same row with my kids side by side. Like, it was just such a blessing.
It was a blessing. So, you know, we have to start the show with this song that we played last week, but I'm sorry, we're going to do it again because it fits everything. Counting Every Blessing, and then we're going to talk about some blessings that Angel and Betty have in their lives. Counting Every Blessing by Wren Collective.
Ooh,
love this song.
Ooh, I was blind, now I'm seeing. And in color, I was dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I was lost, now I'm found by the Father. I've been changed from a ruin to treasure. I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing, letting go and trusting when I cannot see. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing. To me, oh, you are. for your goodness, I will ever praise you. Oh, you are good to me. Oh, you are good to me. Sing it out now. Oh, you are good to me. In the hurting, oh, you are good to me. I'll sing it loud. Oh, dark. Oh, you are good to me. Lift your voices. Oh, you are good to me. All the time. Oh, you are good to me.
Woo! Wow, you are good to me, Lord. Yes, he is, and we are grateful for that. I want to talk about that a minute as we start this Thanksgiving show. You know, so often we talk about, oh, I got to remember, thank God for this. I'm thankful for that. But let's talk about his goodness, because that song, Counting Every Blessing, gets to me every time we sing it, because it reminds me there are so many times, there are so many blessings that we have that we are not busy counting, Angel. We are just like, oh, yeah, that one. Oh, yeah, and that one. Right?
Oh, I agree with you. I think so often we easily overlook the blessings because we're focusing on the problems or what's not going the way we want it to go. And we're overlooking so many amazing blessings in our lives.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like, I'm sure it probably hurts God from time to time that we are so negligent in thanking him and praising him for everything. I think so often we take things for granted, blessings for granted. Don't you think, Betty?
Yes, we do, because I think sometimes we are so preoccupied with the things of our daily life. You know, there's distractions, there's, you know, bills to pay, there's just a lot of things that pull us away.
Right.
Excuse me, from, you know, the bless, you know, through thanking and praising the Lord. And I think that once we become friends with God, it's just like us talking right now, is that we just, the closer we are to God, the more we're in his word, the more we pray, I think the more we become, it becomes a habit of every time, you know, for house, you know, for a place to live, the freedom of religion, thank you, God, you know,
yes.
Thank you for that. But I believe the more we do it, and I think listening to one of the other shows that you two are on, it takes 21 days to form a habit.
At least, yeah. That's what we say. We say that a lot, yeah.
And once you do it and once you keep doing it, it just becomes as prominent as brushing your teeth in the morning.
Right.
Combing your hair. It just comes with, as soon as you open your eyes, you know, thank you, God, for, you know, giving me another day. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, giving me the breath of life.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, it just becomes a habit. The more you do it, the more you enjoy doing it, and the more that it just comes natural.
But I think for a lot of people, they've grown up in situations where they never really were taught the importance of thanking God. I know that a lot of us have probably grown up in homes where we were taught at an early age that you say please and thank you. I mean, I certainly was, and I taught my kids that, very, very important that they learn. And I love it when my little grandbabies and grandkids learn to say thank you. That is such a blessing to me. I love it. But, you know, when it comes to God, Angel, we're not real good about that. I think a lot of times we take so much for granted. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, yeah, okay, right.
I agree with you. I think we take a lot for granted. I think we also feel this sense of entitlement, like it's owed to us. So it's, why should we thank God for it?
Right.
Like we should just have a good life, and we should just have the things we want or desire. But that's not, we're not owed anything.
Right.
And we should be very thankful and grateful for what we have and recognize it.
absolutely. Be very much more aware. I want to go to Exodus 15, where I was not planning on going. So God just took me back here for a few verses just to start the show. Exodus 15, 1, it's right after Moses led the children of Israel across the Red Sea. We talked about this a few weeks ago on one of our shows. The Red Sea was very deep and it was wide, and God did a miracle right there for the children of Israel, and he stood the water up on each side, and it says that the people, all 2 or 3 million of them, walked across that sea on dry land. And I want to look at verse 1 of Exodus 15, because this is after they got across, right? And then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider or its chariot has he thrown into the sea. That's talking about the Egyptians that followed after them, and then they all were just drowned in the sea, because after the children of Israel got across on dry land, if you've ever seen Ten Commandments, then you know what happened. And then the Egyptians were swallowed up in the sea. But here's what I want, the point I want to make. In Exodus 15:1, Moses taught the people to sing a song, I will sing to the Lord, and give the glory and the credit where the credit is due. The credit was given to God. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider or its chariot has he thrown into the sea. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my song. I love that Moses taught the people, hey, God did this. God did this. And he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Those two verses are very important, because Moses taught the people, you know who got you across that Red Sea on dry ground? That was God. That was Almighty God. And I think this is where so often we need to be teaching all those around us. We need to be teaching generations to come after us, that it's very important that we give God the praise. Talk to us, Betty, about this and acknowledge him more. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, you know, excuse me. The Lord delights in our praises. And he enjoys hearing us say it. It's just like me giving you a compliment, or giving Dr. Angel a compliment, or praising you for something you have done, or even telling you what a great person you are, which you, both of you, are great people. You're wonderful people.
We're glad that you're acknowledging that, Betty, because rarely do you tell us how sweet or great we are. And so I don't know about you, Angel, but I feel really blessed today to have Betty say that.
Well, and you should. No, it just becomes, it's just something that it does my heart good to be able to bless someone with just saying, hey, I love you guys. And that's what the Lord, he inhabits the praises of his people. And
yes,
it does our hearts good to be able to say something positive. In such a negative world, if we say something positive, it blesses someone else. But it also blesses us. And it's just the art of giving. Giving doesn't mean with material things. Give someone a hug. Give someone a card. Give someone a phone call. Give someone a prayer. Those are the things that God that blesses us.
Amen.
And it blesses the Lord, for the Lord to see us doing something wonderful for someone else. It does my heart good, and it does my heart good to say that I appreciate both of you.
Amen.
And don't expect that too often, but I do appreciate that.
I know. We're learning that. No, but you know what? I love the fact that Moses acknowledges where the miracle came from, and he teaches them a song. Some of the best songs that I know are songs that are derived as you begin to worship, and then you just go on singing in the spirit and maybe just sing from your heart. I mean, when that happens, it happens to me a lot driving down the road, especially with the top down on my car. I love to just sing God's praises and then to tell him how great he is and how wonderful Angel, talk to us about that, because I love that Moses was the example and he said, wait a minute, God did this. God did this. Let's thank him.
Well, yes, I think that was awesome that Moses definitely was the one was able to let them bring it up to their attention what God has done for them, you know,
right.
Because, you know, and God had done so much for them by
yeah.
this point, like miraculous things,
yes.
signs and wonders, like evidence.
Right.
And yet, you know, they will still struggle with mm-hmm. acknowledging mm-hmm. what God's doing. And, you know, you're right. We have to teach it to our younger generations,
we
but we have to live it for ourselves. And we often, we do the same thing as the Israelites do.
Yes.
Like life gets hard and we're like,
yes.
oh, where's God? He's not doing anything.
Right.
And then we forget what God has done
mm-hmm.
for us and
yes.
the seas that he's parted in our lives and the miracles that he's done for us. And we, what you, you know, I talk about a lot, what you feed grows, what you starve dies. And when you are not giving God the praise for what he's done, you, it hurts your faith because you're, first of all, you're not acknowledging God, which we should be acknowledging what's God's and what's,
yes.
what's ours. But our faith grows when we can live in those moments and acknowledge, yes, God, you were here for this. And
yes,
yes God, you did this. It grows our faith so we can trust him when the next storm comes.
Absolutely, it does. And when you think back of the pilgrims, and I mentioned them briefly this morning in my sermon, but I mean, they really did travel a long distance to get to this new world. And when they got there, and we don't know what day this was, but it is a tradition that they acknowledged that God brought them there safely, right? They didn't say, oh, let's have a party and celebrate our own strength. Boy, we've got muscles like you wouldn't believe, and boy, we are really smart. Got ourselves to this new land. Boy, we just did it. I don't know how we did it, but we did it. It's all us. That was not their attitude, was it, Betty? What was their attitude?
It was, they were blessed. They were glad to be on new ground. They were glad to be free. And I believe that they were, which I think we should be able to state exactly the same thing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for getting us here. Thank you, Lord. I mean, you could just hear them, you know, as soon as their feet hit the land, because I love history. And it's just, as soon as they left the boat, that they could probably almost kiss the ground and say, thank you, God, for giving us this opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And for getting us here, because I'm sure they faced many obstacles. And again, it's thank you, Lord, for the freedom. Thank you, God, for everything, because at that point in time, he was their God.
Oh, amen. Amen.
Exactly the same way it was with Moses. God was, you know, that was their God.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to go on down here in Exodus 15 for just a minute. I want to go down to verse 8. When I said that God froze the waters, look at verse 8 of Exodus 15 if you're following along. With a blast of your nostrils, this is Moses talking to God, the waters piled up, the floods stood fixed in a heap, and the deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. That is talking about the water froze. I mean, it didn't just kind of move back and it kind of would seep back out on the ground. No, it says that they walked across on dry ground because the water of the sea was standing up on either side of the passageway for the children of Israel to go across. Now, guys, in your life, in your situation, God wants to be that strong to you. And you say, what do you mean? Move a sea? No, I'm not talking about that. We're talking about whatever God's plan is in your life that you need right now. God wants to do that in you. And look at verse 9. The enemy said, because see, the enemy will always come and say something. The devil is busy, busy working. In this case, he was working through the Egyptians. I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. So that's what the enemy of our souls, the devil, will always say, I'm going to destroy you. Yeah, you step out in faith, look what I'm going to do to you. Talk to us, Angel.
Well, you know what? You're right. There's always the enemy to bring doubt, to bring discouragement, to bring fear. Like, that's how he keeps us back, which is why we really need to put time into our praises to
do.
God, because that's what builds our faith. That's what lets us know who God really is, what he's doing in our lives. So when we hear that negativity, when we hear that doubt coming in from the enemy, we can shut it out quickly.
Right. We're going to talk more about that today in a little while. But verse 10 of Exodus 15, Moses says, "Lord, you blew with your wind. The sea covered them." That's because they all sank in the flood and they died, the enemy. And then he goes on to talk about God's greatness in verse 11. "Moses, who is like you, O Lord?" You guys know this was not planned today, right? God, the Lord's directing us here for someone needs to remember these things. That yes, the enemy's going to fight you, but the devil is he's a defeated foe. And in verse 11, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who's like you? Awesome, whole in holiness and splendor, doing wonders." And then he goes in verse 12 of Exodus 15, "You stretched out your right hand, the earth's seal swallowed them. You, in your mercy and loving kindness, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation." So this whole thing is Moses recounting what happened and giving God the credit that he is due here, Betty. And that's where we have to adjust our mindset. We're going to talk about magnification and minimization in just a little while. And this is part of that, where we adjust our mindset to recognize and praise the ability, the miracle-working ability, the power of Almighty God. Betty, why is that important?
It is vitally important that we recognize who the ultimate power is. And it's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by his spirit that leads us and guides us. And once we eliminate ourselves from the equation, we understand that God is the ultimate power. He is the great I am. He is who he says he is, and that's so important for us to recognize.
Amen.
No matter what we're going through, no matter what the distractions are that the enemy throws at us, it's just like the enemy was consumed in the waters. The seas, you know, the seas froze, but as soon as the enemy was in the water, they perished, because God had his righteous right hand upon the Israelites, and he delivered them. He delivered them just like he said he would. And that even though sometimes people, we don't see him working, we don't see any, you know, say, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? Is that God's timing is perfect, just like it was in Exodus.
Amen.
His timing was perfect.
There's a reason for that.
There is a reason, exactly. We may not know what it is now. We may not know till we get to heaven. But, you know, God is working. He worked for them, and he'll work for you.
Yes. Because he's a good, good father. Great song. Angel's favorite.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like. But I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. We
can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call.
Song, it's who you are. He's perfect in all his ways. He is. He is your loving Heavenly Father, and he loves you so very much. Why is it so hard, Angel, for so many of us to accept his goodness toward us individually? A lot of people understand the concept of God being good. Maybe they don't really believe that, but they can get understand it. But to make it personal, why is that hard for people?
Oh, I think it's hard for people on a lot of levels. First of all, we know who we really are, and we know what we're really capable of. So I think a lot of people just feel like they're not good enough, or they're too bad, or something in that lines. And I think for other people, it's hard, you know, because God is equated for us to understand somewhat his love based on human love. And, you know, he's our father. And if you've had a poor relationship with your earthly parents or family, it can make it hard to understand the perfect love of God.
Oh, I totally agree. I think it relates a lot to what we know in our human experience. And that, unfortunately, has to do with the parents that we have sometimes. Betty, you want to speak to that before we go to Psalm 9? And you both of you? Go ahead.
Well, I totally agree with what Angel's saying, is that we just don't feel like we're worthy enough. And what we have to remember is that God sent his only son, and he didn't have two or three sons. He only had one, but he sent the best. He sent the best of the best. And we have to realize that we are, when he died for us,
amen,
you are worthy.
Yes.
That his love is relentless. His love is forever. It's not one of those things where he loves you know, during Valentine's Day and Christmas. He loves us 365 days a year, 24/7. So his love is forever, and it's one of the loves that you can't hide from it, because it's always there. You're his child.
That's right.
You will always be his child, no
amen.
Matter what you've done.
That's right.
No matter what you've said, is that you will always be his child, and he will always.
Yes.
And when I say always, people, I mean always. There's nothing you can do that would keep you from the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that in itself is one huge blessing.
Yeah, I mean, we at this Thanksgiving Day show, we want to emphasize that we give him thanks, and we need to be giving him more thanks, more praise, because we need to attribute to him more of the things in our daily lives that we sometimes just take for granted. And we don't praise God for perhaps the job you have, or the relationships that you have, or the friends, or the children, or whatever. A lot of times we just take those things for granted, Angel. That's what I'm trying to say, I think.
I agree with you. I think we do. I think we take so much for granted. I think we have gotten spoiled in our culture and our communities. I think we just expect good things are supposed to happen to us. And so we have that entitlement. And we aren't giving God the glory and the thanks for what he provides for us all the time.
And that's why I like Moses teaching them all a song about, hey, God did this, right? And on this Thanksgiving Day radio show, I tell you, God needs to get the glory for our nation, for the pilgrims coming here safely. They didn't have GPS, guys. They had some primitive kind of to look at the stars system that they had, and navigation. And somehow they arrived here, Angel. How did that happen?
You know, and it was God's perfect plan, I believe, for them to come over and start this. And then they come in, and it's preparing for cold and winter, which could have, you know, just wiped them all out.
Right.
And yet God had a provision to teach them what this land was like and how to live off of it and how to, you know, become a nation that they became. And so I believe it was just God provided each step of the way.
And I believe that if you go back to those early pilgrims, they were believers and they wanted religious freedom.
Yes.
And they wanted to have a land where they could worship God and not have the hierarchy, the system of religion that they had known. And it was an amazing event that they, when you stop and think about that, and I said this morning they came in kayaks and pontoons and speedboats, but we all know that that is not true. So, Betty, I'm telling you right now, they did not have speedboats when they came over.
They didn't?
No, and they didn't have any yachts, and there were there were no yachts. No, none.
No, I know. Or any, nothing like that.
No kayaks, nothing like that. And so here they came in primitive boats. I mean, honestly, very primitive, more than likely. And probably many died on the way, and they died. Some people died after they got there, but they stepped out in faith. Our founding fathers stepped out in faith to found a nation where God could be worshipped. And that's why we got to preserve that freedom of religion.
You know what? I find it very amazing. You know, I've taken a couple cruises. And when you're out in the middle of that ocean, it is vast. And just to think how on earth did they really navigate that? That just amazes me.
Totally amazing, isn't it?
It really does.
Because honestly, it had to be God, you know. Or maybe they did have a GPS on their phones and we didn't know it. And we've not been told the truth. I don't know. But
you never know. The difference is between then and now is that God was the center
of
everything that they did, and that's where we have to turn back to.
Amen.
Back to God.
We have to. This is a nation that's in trouble right now in a lot of ways, and we must praise God, worship God, spend time praying for our leaders and all of that. And really, really seek God, because we want the Christian principles to continue in this nation. And when I look at them, honestly, I'm with my heart is full of awe, you know, praise. I mean, I can't hardly believe it, Angel. What happened? And it had to be of God, because they landed on Plymouth Rock. It was already named Plymouth Rock, maybe not already. And they were Red Sox fans from the beginning.
They were. Yeah. They're New England Patriots.
I know. That's sad, what? Isn't it? That's really sad.
What?
Sorry. Yeah, you had to get that one in.
I guess. What? Yeah, I know, Betty. It's so alarming. I know. But I guess the founding fathers were.
Tampa Bay Ray fans.
Well, but think about it. They were called Patriots, right? And what's the name of the?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. That's where it came
Tom
from.
Tom Brady was on that boat.
Well, Brady's a lot older than he looks, so it maybe is like 300.
Yeah, he really is. He's older than
Yeah,
he's older
so
than
he's probably 300 years old. We just don't know. So anyway, we digress somewhere. I'm not sure where. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, the Psalm of David, with my whole heart. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. not part of me. It just goes to church. My church part, heart of my heart. Oh, that's hard to say. My church part, no. My church, whatever. Because a lot of people, I believe, Betty, they have that churchy thing on Sundays, and then the rest of the week, the rest of their heart dictates. The rest of their desires, etc., take over. And I love what David says. I will praise you, O Lord. It's a determination. He's declaring it. With my whole heart, I will show forth and recount and tell aloud all your marvelous works and wonderful deeds. We need to be talking more about what God's done. Talk to us, Angel, while I get a drink of water.
Well, you're right. We don't just need to, you know, praise God and thank him for what he's done for us, but we need to tell others and talk about it, because that's what encourages and lifts the faith of those around us, and it gives hope.
Oh, it does.
And there are so many people who are living without real hope. You know, when I my practice of counseling, one of the things we do is we call it the hope meter. And I, you know, how when you go to the hospital, they always level your pain. Are you 1 to 10? Well, we have the hope meter.
Really?
And we level
every week, we
level where they are in their hope. And there are so many people that are living in this 1 to 2 with like little bit of hope. Like they just, they don't have it when they're coming.
Wow.
And so the more we can talk to others about what God has done for us, what he is doing for us, where he's brought us, you know, the love that we know that we have and the identity that we know that we have, the more we are giving and planting hope into those around us.
A hope meter, huh?
Yes.
So does it go from 1 to 10?
It sure does.
Does it? And 10 is like what? What would 10 look like?
10 means you are full of hope. Full
of
hope.
Of course, the name of our ministry is Beacon of Hope.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, it is. Betty, what do you think about that? The hope meter, you know?
Well, you know, that is... it's a good way to judge, especially in her line of work, is to have them tell her exactly how they feel. And I think that that would help us to have, we're not always going to be at a 10, because we are, you know, we have, you know, some storms and things that we go through that gives us perseverance. But I think that having hope, giving thanks, is so important, especially right now during these difficult times. And I don't know if I'm speaking to anyone in particular, but the one thing that you have to realize is that the hope that you don't have can be found in Jesus Christ. And that
Amen.
Should increase your hope meter just a little bit at a time. And as we were talking back, you know, a few minutes ago, the more you praise him, giving him thanks, I think that that would increase your hope meter to the point where maybe if
yes.
you were a 2,
yes,
you know, that maybe the more you praise, you could go to a 3.
Mm-hmm.
You can go. It sometimes you have to take baby steps.
Amen.
In life, so that you don't become overwhelmed. But again, we talked about it. Once you start that habit of, you know, in the morning, God, what have you got for me today?
Right. Yes. Start right there. Yes.
Thank you for. I mean, just start right there before your feet hit the ground. Say, Lord God, Daddy God, what have you got for me today?
Mm-hmm.
What can you and I do together?
Right.
That should raise your hope meter up from a 2 at least to a 4.
Yeah.
Because from then on, once you dedicate that day to the Lord, things can be brighter. Here we pray for sunshine. And God, give us hope of just
right.
one day with sunshine, because it gets, you can
yeah.
ask any Michigan person up here, what do you like seeing when you first get up? Sun.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Because it is dreary. Okay, thank you, God, for you may want to, pardon me, I'm going to have to.
Yeah, that's all right. Get a drink. Get a drink.
I got to get a drink of water.
We'll come back to you. Angel, what was the name of the song you told me earlier in the office that you wanted us to do?
Reckless Love?
Yeah, I thought that was it. That's kind of what I thought.
Before I spoke a word, you were was singing over me. And you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me. So kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't.
Song. Corey Asbury, really good song. Reckless Love. I can see why you like that so much. I've listened to it in my car too. That's a great song. Verse 3, 2 of Psalm 9. I will rejoice in you and be in high spirits. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I will rejoice in you and be in high spirits. I will rejoice. We talked this morning about rejoicing. It means be exceeding glad. It means like be like, wow, like full of joy, something like that. Angel, I don't know if you have a better definition, but when I think of rejoice, I think of getting into it. I mean, I don't think of, as I mentioned this morning, like a little bit, oh, thank you, Lord. I don't think it's like that. I think it's a robust rejoicing is, yes, thank you, God. Yes, that's how I think it.
I envision it the same way. In fact, especially as you were even speaking this morning in church, and I'm thinking about rejoicing. I'm thinking about like when you're watching a sports game, like you are just, you know, going, especially when they just made their, you know, touchdown or their whatever they're doing, and you are, you know, high-fiving and you're loud and you're demonstrative of your joy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we don't take that same level into the joy
you know,
of the Lord.
We're trying to do that at Beacon of Hope. I know I do, and I know you do, and I know there's some others that do. But I think it's so new for a lot of people. They have not equated church with rejoicing.
I agree. They feel like you have to sit and be all
yeah.
reserved and tuck in, you know. And but, you know, we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and we are to rejoice. And, you know, if we can't rejoice before the Lord, which is where all of our joy and hope is. Like,
right.
Wow.
We're going to talk more about this. Betty, did you have a comment on that before we kind of talk about the prayer ministry? Or would you like to talk about the prayer ministry, and then we'll get back on this subject in a few minutes?
Oh, I would love to talk about the prayer ministry. One of the greatest things we can do is pray for our brothers and sisters. And one of the things that God does is he does answer prayer.
Right.
And if you have a prayer request, we have Shell, Pastor Jim, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
We type a prayer underneath your request, and we send it out to the many people who are on our prayer chain. And we see results. And it's amazing what God can do when we offer up the power of prayer.
Oh yeah.
We take it to the throne, and God answers prayer. And where two or three are gathered, and there are more than two or three on our prayer chain. So please, if you have a prayer request, send it to prayers@bohmglobal.com, and we will send that prayer out. And if you would like to be a part of the prayer group, send us a please add me to your prayer list to the prayer group. I would love to be able to be a part of this praying group of warriors. You can, again, send it to prayers@bohmglobal.com. And if you have a praise report, which we love to get, send it to us so that we know that sometimes we reach out and we'll say, how are things going? And they'll say, well, you know, God's on the scene, but we just haven't seen any more. You know, we haven't seen anything happen yet, but he's still working, even though we don't see it. We know that he's working.
Amen.
Send this praise report to prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Well
and
done.
If you're local in the area, you might be able to just stop at Beacon of Hope, set in on the praise and worship and listen to the Word of God and get a pen.
Right. Yes, you could get a pen.
bohmglobal.com.
That's right. We have quite a few of those still. Although they're going dwindling down fast. Betty, you got yours, right? When Megan brought you yours. And
yes, we have many pens.
Yes. we are laughing because the printer put the information where healing happens, which is our slogan in the ministry now. And this thing that Betty just said, prayers@bohmglobal.com, so small that you cannot hardly read it without a magnifying glass, which we are going to talk about magnifying here in just a moment. But the pens are a good example of minimizing something so small that you can barely read it, but you got to get it out in the light and you can see it, which is kind of funny. But it is the Amen. Truth. I want to talk about answered prayer. One of my very best friends in all the world, Barbara Holt, in San Antonio, yes. who used to live here in Tampa Bay area, and I listed their house, she and her husband, John, when I was a new agent years and years and years ago, realtor. We became fast friends, and she actually came to work with me for a while and decided she hated real estate and all that good thing. But she's out there right near my son, Mark, and his wife, Candy, and baby Joel, and the new baby coming. And they're like grandparents to my kids, which is my grandkids, which is really cool. And Barbara has gone through some serious health issues to the point of a real, real serious scare about cancer in the last week. But Betty, the praise report is that the reports came in and it is not cancer at all.
Praise God.
It is a curable autoimmune disease. And she called me as soon as she got the report and was just praising God. And, you know, we need to do that. When you have an answer to prayer, people, you need to give God the glory and the praise. And we will talk more about that, I'm sure, in this hour. But we're coming up on the top of the hour, and we always have to do station ID because we want to, because we are proud to be a part. We're in our 13th year right here on TanTalkNetwork.com. So it's a joy to be here every single Sunday afternoon. Dr. Angel and I, and I'll let you say a word about it after we do the 4 o'clock thing, but we have a show on Thursday nights, and she can tell you what that is. So we actually do two shows a week right here on Tan Talk Network. Easy way to hear them is to go to the tantalknetwork.com, go to podcasts, and then you can go to the name of the show.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.